Message. We're continuing with our series on authority and submission. Please turn with me here tonight to Matthew chapter 24, and I want you to also find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We will be going there, but just keep your finger in these two places. And we have been dealing over these months with this series on authority and submission. And I believe it's an essential teaching for this hour and this generation. We've dealt with more general teachings of the Bible and even looked at the history of Israel and the early history of the church. But I want to bring us right down to the last days, where we are now, to the prophecies of Christ and the apostles concerning what is happening in our world today and what is just about to happen. Reading from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom shall rise against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And let's just read this last verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're in this series on authority and submission, coming down to the end of it. And as we approach the end of this series, I want to show you in this message the great rebellion, the last generation. Jesus prophesied and the apostles taught that the very last generation that in which Jesus would return for his church, there would be a great rebellion. And that's what this chapter 24 actually teaches. Let's come to this message tonight. And as we deal with the great rebellion of this particular generation, I want you to think of it in the context of everything we've taught on authority and submission in the church, in the society, in the family, in every area of society. There is coming a great rebellion. There is going to be a rejection of divine government, of the teaching of the Bible, and of the authority of the Bible, but not just in the world, in the church, or what is called the church. Let's look at the teaching of Jesus here tonight to us. I want you to notice, first of all, that when Jesus is asked, what shall be the sign, or what are going to be the signs of your return, of you coming back again, or of the end of the world. And notice the disciples put these things together. The end of the world marks the coming again of Jesus Christ. All of these things shall carry signs. There is going to be signs that Jesus is coming. There are certain set signs that the end of the world is coming, that we've reached the end of time itself. himself. Jesus actually teaches it very clearly, and the apostles are asking him about this concerning the last day. What is going to be the sign? Are the signs that you are coming back again, and that the end of the world is actually come upon us? You see, I could keep you here for hours talking about many of the signs, the wars, the famines, the pestilence, the all of the technology that is in our generation. I could tell you of the mark of the beast. I could tell you of a one world religion. I could tell you of the rise of a world government. I could tell you of a common tyranny under the hand of a political dictatorship. But Jesus doesn't mention any of these things first. Notice what he says in verse 4, verse 5, verse 11, and verse 24. He mentions a certain word four times. And it's the first thing that he tells the disciples. What is the mark that you're coming again, Jesus? Deception. What is the mark that we have reached the end of the world? Deception. I want you to realize that before looking at world governments or the mark of the beast or any of these things, Jesus doesn't mention them. He actually says the greatest mark that we've reached the end, that I am coming again, that we've reached the end of time itself, is deception. Notice here in these four verses, now this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. Deception is going to mark the last generation. Deception is going to be the greatest danger that you and I face. This is not a crashed economy. No, not the economy crashing or some sort of earthquake. That isn't it. You and I, the greatest danger you in this room face tonight in this generation is deception. Now what does this word deception that Jesus used four times to speak about, you know you've reached the end? It is the Greek word planio, and it means to cause to roam, or to lead astray, or to seduce, or to be out of the way, or to be out of the narrow way. Now Jesus actually says the mark of the last generation is that there's going to be a great departure from the narrow way. That there is going to be a great deception that leads you away from a narrow, straight course of walking with Jesus Christ. Now notice a bit closer what Jesus says about this deception. In verse 4 he says, take heed. You are warned about it. You need to take this serious. Take heed concerning it. You need to know it's an hour of deception. You need to know it's the greatest danger that you are going to face personally. And we as a church, you see, an earthquake isn't going to deceive me. Antichrist isn't going to deceive me. World government isn't going to deceive me. But he says, take heed. Of who? Men. Be warned. This deception is in the context, take warning from me about men. You better be careful of men. If you could see through things, if things are always what they seem to be on the surface, why would Jesus warn of deception? You can meet Jimmy Jones down the street and say, sure, he's a great guy. Oh, really? That is the element of deception. That is the mark of deception. And he's not talking about systems, he's talking about people. They are not what they seem to be. Beware of men. So we see this deception has to do with being deceived by men. You don't see through them. They are not what they seem. What they appear on the surface, you better scratch a little bit deeper because they will deceive you. Look at verse 5. He says, many shall be deceived. Underline that word many. If you're prone to underline, many shall be deceived. Nothing's going to change this. Nothing is going to stop this. A positive confession isn't going to stop this. You can pray all you want. We can pray all we want as a church. I can stop from being deceived, but nothing is going to stop this happening. It says many. Who's he talking to? His disciples. Not even the general church. His closest disciples. His apostles. Those who follow him. Those who obey him. He says many shall be deceived. Do you know what the word many means? More than half. Most are going to be deceived. What? Most are going to be led out of the narrow way. Many are going to be deceived and they won't realize it. They'll actually walk along saying, I'm fine. But yet, when you test it with the Word of God, you'll go, you have been deceived. You're out of the way. You have gone astray. You've moved off the course that Jesus actually taught. Then in verse 11 it says, many false prophets shall arise. Not a few, not a handful, not several, not 100. Many, multitudes, great numbers all across the church are going to arise. Notice he's not talking about political leaders. He's saying false prophets. You're going to see men with gifted ministries. You're going to see men in the church. Men who seem to have supernatural insight and gifts from God himself. These men, they look like prophets. They sound like prophets. They seem like prophets. And yet, they're false. They're not real. Jesus is warning, many of them are going to arise. What do you think they're going to rise in the world? No. Do you think he's talking about the JWs and the Mormons and the Hare Krishnas? No. I don't even believe he's talking about the Catholic Church. I believe he's talking about the real church. No Hare Krishna is going to deceive me. No JW is going to deceive me. No Catholic priest. I'm not in any danger of being deceived in a man in a little black box that tries to tell me he can forgive my sins. I'm not in any danger of deception. Neither is the true church. But what Jesus says is, oh, this deception is going to come through men. And most of the church is going to be deceived. Do you hear me tonight? I'm not telling you this. Jesus is telling you this. Most of those in the church who once knew the narrow way, who once understood the narrow way, who once understood truth, they are going to be led astray. How? By false prophets. And Jesus once, he says, many false prophets are going to rise. So notice the last generation is going to be marked by the rise of many false prophets who are going to deceive most of those in the church. More than half. Since if I really believe this, I'm going to be on my knees praying. I am going to be studying the Word of God. I'm going to be going, I can't go by my eyes or my ears or my mental intellect. I am going to have to live by something greater than that. And I want to tell you, those who are submitted to Christ and submitted to his word and submitted in the church, they won't get deceived. I want to tell you that. As submitted people in the last generation aren't going to go astray. They'll say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. I'm not going running after false prophets. I'm not being moved from the narrow way. I'm not moving away from the written scriptures. I am staying here. But there's going to be another movement in the church. It's going to move great multitudes. And you know what? When everybody goes in a certain direction, it's very hard to stand against that. If there's only one or two or a little trickle, you go, oh, sure, I wouldn't do that. But when most of the people go in a certain direction, that is very hard. Do you know they've done tests in elevators, and they had everyone set up, and only one Jimmy Jones doesn't know what's going on, and he gets in the elevator, and everybody is standing the opposite way. He's the only one facing the door, and all of them in there, it's a setup, and they're all facing the other way, and he's got 10 floors. You can see it on YouTube. So he gets in, he does what he's always done. You always face the door, you get on, you turn around, you look at the door, and he's looking at all of these people facing him. And 9 out of 10 of them, you suddenly start seeing them beginning to turn slowly. First floor, second floor, third floor. By the fifth floor, they've all turned around. 9 out of 10. You know why? It is the power of suggestion, of influence, of crowds, of surely, maybe I'm wrong. I've always done this. This is how I've always stood. But you know, maybe I should be pointing the other way. Why? Because the crowd are doing it. I'm telling you, that's a very dangerous thing. And that's why Jesus has warned us here. Many false prophets are going to deceive more than half of those who once knew the clear way. Not talking about the apostate or those who didn't know the truth. Talking about those who really said, this is the way, this is truth. Again, it says in verse 12, Jesus teaching. He says, this is all part of the abounding iniquity. Iniquity is going to burst its banks. That's what the Greek means. It's never done that in world history. Never in one generation in all of history has iniquity burst its banks. There's always been iniquity. There's always been sin. There's always been immorality. But it says in this last generation that's going to be marked by this great rebellion, it says iniquity bursts the banks. In other words, there's no restriction, there's no limits, there's nothing to hold it back. Do you know what the word iniquity mean? It means without law or against law. So iniquity is going to burst its banks. There's going to be lawlessness. We are against law. No one's going to restrict me. I don't need to obey laws. Do what you think is right. That is going to dominate the entire generation. And Jesus says, because iniquity and lawlessness burst the banks and floods the nations and floods Ireland. I tell you, older ladies have changed their morality in the past 5 years in Ireland. They have. Old ladies in Ireland who once had old-fashioned convictions in 5 years have changed. Why? Because everybody is going that way. And they sit in front of a television box every day, and that television tells them what to believe. Every day they're being educated. All restraint is being lifted. And amidst this lawless age where there's no more laws and no more coming under authority, it's going to mark our generation. Lawlessness. I'm against the law. I don't want anyone to restrict me. That is the hour that many false prophets are going to come in the church and arise and explode. That's the climate. That is the weather forecast. I am giving you a weather forecast of what it's going to be like. Jesus says, because iniquity bursts its banks, the love of many in the church, the agape love, is going to wax cold. Oh, they're still saved, but they have lost the burning, shining love, their passion for Christ. Yeah. Why? Because it gets so dark out there, it's lawless. No one wants to obey any laws. And because of that, it starts affecting the church. And they begin to lose their love and passion for Jesus and his truth. Notice as well in verse 24 what Jesus tells us. He says that false Christ shall arise and false prophets shall arise. And shall show great signs and wonders. Now notice, I'm talking about deception, the last great deception of church history. The last great deception of church history. And more than half are going to get deceived and false prophets are going to be used. And you know what? Those false prophets are going to do miracles.
Yeah.
Oh, they done a miracle. It must be real. Oh, look at all the signs and the wonders. He must be a man of God. You will get deceived. Can I warn you? Can I tell you what Jesus says here? If you think miracles, I mean real miracles, supernatural signs are an infallible proof that something of God, you are about to get deceived. in a way that will lead you away from the narrow path of truth if you can be deceived. If you actually look at miracles and say, it must be God. Notice he says signs and wonders. Signs point towards something. Wonders leave you in awe. Open mouth amazed, saying, surely this is a miracle. Notice what Jesus says. The last rebellion against truth that's going to happen in the church is going to be through prophets who do great miracles. Wow. I'm telling you of what happens in our generation. Notice here he says false Christ and false prophets. In verse 5, Jesus says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You need to understand this. This coming of false Christs is part of the deception of the last day. Now let me give you three interpretations. Jesus said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Many are going to be deceived into thinking what is Christ isn't really Christ. Let me give you three interpretations. You can take your choice. I believe there's truth in all of them, but only one of them's accurate. I believe it could mean false Christs. Now Jesus is saying many are going to suddenly arise and they'll say, I am Christ. That's happening all across our world. If you watch the news items all across America and the Middle East, men are suddenly rising up saying, I'm Jesus Christ, I'm returned, here I am. All over our world, men, they're not saying they're Muhammad. They're not saying they're Allah. They're not saying they're some strange person. They're saying, I am the Christ. All over our world. There's hundreds of incidents like this have happened in recent months. Do you realize, I just read a report that happened the past month, that the top police inspector in the nation of Israel said, we are waiting for the Messiah. And we are teaching our police force how to get ready for the coming of the Messiah. That's a police force in Israel. So they are looking for their Christ, their Messiah. And that's what the word Christ means. It means Messiah. The word Christ means the anointed one, the prophesied one. So all across our world, they're looking for the Christ, a person to come. Better be careful, deception's coming. Or it could mean, listen to this, it could mean false anointed ones, that many false anointed ones are going to rise up. Jesus said, they shall come in my name. They'll come in the name of Jesus, saying, I am Christ, or I am a anointed one, or I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon me. In 2,000 years, we've never heard more men in the church claiming that they are the anointed of God. I have the anointing. I have got the anointing. Or look at him, he is anointed of God. Saints, there's a lot of deception behind that. When a man claims to be anointed or to be a anointed one of Christ. But I believe this is the accurate interpretation for you. Listen, they shall come and acknowledge that Christ is indeed the Messiah. Listen, Jesus said they shall come in my name saying, I am the Christ and shall deceive many. In other words, they'll come in the name of Christ, preaching about Christ, talking about Christ. They shall say Jesus is the anointed Messiah. And they'll deceive many. Wow. They'll come under the guise of the person of Christ. They'll say, I believe what you believe. I believe in the cross. I believe he died. I believe he done the miracles. I believe he rose on the third day. Hey, I'm an Orthodox believer. Wow. I am sound in my theology. Well, he must be a good Christian then. No, you're just about to be deceived. Do you know in verse 23 it says, Jesus speaking again, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, it's a command. If anybody comes unto you saying, I can show you where the Christ is. This is a prophecy about the last deception in the last generation. If anybody can come to you and say, I know where the Christ is. I can show you it's in a certain place. Can I tell you, if anyone can show you a place, a time, or a person, it's deception. 100% of the time. Jesus actually says, look, if anyone, you don't need discernment. You don't need a revelation from God. If anyone comes in, here is Christ or there is Christ. Mm-hmm. Believe it not. It's a command. Don't even pray about it. You reject it because you go, Jesus said, that'll never happen. Yeah. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs. You need to beware there's false Christs. How do you identify them? They can be placed in a certain specific place. A address. Here they are. It's deception. Yeah. Verse 26. I'm telling you what Jesus taught. I'm not adding to this. Mm-hmm. Verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Hey, I know where he is. He's actually in the desert, in a secluded place in the backside of the desert, away from all the razzmatazz of the city. What does Jesus say? Go not forth. Don't you go there. Don't go to their convention. Don't go to their meeting. If they are actually saying, behold, he, the Christ, is in the desert, do not go there. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Don't believe it. If any man comes on to you and say, hey, do you know the Christ is in the secret chamber and I can lead you there into the secret place? Don't believe it. These are very clear commands. So what are we looking for if that's what we reject? He also says in Matthew 24 verse 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Look at the contrast. Don't go here or there, into a desert or into secret places. He said that's deception. Anything in the church that teaches that is a deception. You're being deluded. You're being fooled. If anybody says, I can show you the Christ, they are deceiving you. Because he says very clearly, look, the coming of the Son of Man, my return, it's going to be like this. As the lightning in the sky when it shines out of the east into the west, that's what it's going to be like. That's what the Son of Man is going to look like. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Talking about vultures, not eagles. It's one of the very few bad translations here in our Bible. Not eagles, it's vultures. And you know what it's like in those old movies. If any has ever watched a cowboy movie. And now with a carcass, a guy is about to die. What do you get? All the vultures circling around. You don't need to beg vultures to come to a carcass. Where Jesus taught this about his coming again. And he said, where the carcass is, where the Son of Man is, there shall the vultures gather. What's he saying? Hey, don't go into, don't let anyone tell you, here's Christ and there's Christ. He says, you don't need any man to tell you, and if you do need a man to tell you, you're deceived. Because when the Son of Man comes, where the body is, where he is, the vultures are going to gather automatically. It's natural. You don't need to tell someone, hey, do you realize Jesus has come? You better gather. Too late. He actually says this is naturally going to happen, that where the body is, the vultures gather. In other words, when Jesus comes, wherever Jesus comes physically, the entire church is going to gather. You won't get deceived if you walk with him. Don't listen to man. In verse 31, it actually says how this will happen. He shall send his angels, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. They're being gathered together from the four winds. When the Son of Man comes again, you're not going to have to start packing your bag. You won't need a map. You won't need to say, now is this him or is it not? If you've lived for him, you're going to be immediately gathered onto him. An angel is going to come banging on your door, ready or not. Saints, what a glorious thing that an angel is going to come and grab you and say, I've got an appointment for you to gather under the Son of God. What a day, what a glorious thing. It is actually going to happen that the angels are going to gather everybody from the four winds unto the carcass or unto the person of Christ. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and shall remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. With who? With the others who have come with Jesus. It says that we are caught up together with them in the clouds. The word caught up actually means snatched away or to be seized or to be removed from the earth. We are removed from the earth and we gather to Jesus in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Notice what Jesus says. Notice what the apostles teach. We are going to gather unto Jesus. You don't get deceived in this hour. You don't need to wonder about things in the religious world. Since if you walk with Jesus in the narrow way, you are going to be caught up from the earth supernaturally by the angels of God and you are going to meet the Lord in the air. What a gathering that's going to be. How terrible for those who aren't ready to meet him. Do you realize those angels won't gather everyone? Do you realize that over half the church is not going to get gathered on that appointed day? Why? Because they were deceived by false apostles and false Christs. They were deceived. And you know what? The angel's going to go, he's deceived. But she's not and he's not and they're not. I've come for them. We are going to be caught up to be with the Lord. And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the beginning. To be snatched away to be with the Lord. Now turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm talking about the great rebellion of the last generation. We've got to understand these things or you will get deceived. Because many are going to get deceived. Jesus taught it. 2 Thessalonians 2. And we will come back to Matthew 24. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. There's a lot of ways to deceive somebody. Yeah. Thoughts, words, actions, miracles, impressions, mirages, manifestations, lies, cunning words, a nice smile, a friendly manner. Lots of ways to deceive people. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Talking about the day of the snatching away of the church. That day shall not come except, in other words, something happens before it. Except there come a falling away first. What does that mean? It comes before. I'm amazed at how people try to change the word of God. But it says clearly, before that day, there shall first come a falling away. A great falling away. And that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition. Notice that before that day comes, there's going to come a great falling away. Now, what is this great falling away? What is it talking about? I believe it's talking about the same as Matthew 24, what Jesus said about deception. I believe it's exactly the same. I believe it's a religious deception within the church and against the church in the last generation before Jesus comes for us. Notice this word, falling away. In the Greek, what is it? It's apostasia. Where we get our word apostasy, and I use that word often, apostasy, it means a falling away from the faith. And he says, this falling away, this apostasia, the actual word means defection, to move away from, to rebel or to desert where you once were. Where you once stood, what you once believed, what you once held to, you desert it, you leave it. An old preacher who traveled with Smith Wigglesworth once, give me a card. He says, don't desert your desert until you strike oil. I said, yes, sir, that's a good bit of wisdom. Don't desert your desert till you strike oil. You're going to be a rich man if you just stay in that desert and keep drilling. But if you desert your desert, you won't get anything. Do you realize in this hour, we are about to hit oil. We are about to hit, oh, all I can see is desert. Endless desert. Ever live in the desert? I did. I lived there 3-4 months. You get up, all you see is sand. All you feel is sand. All you taste is sand. All that you find in your ears is sand. It's between your toes. It's everywhere. You learn to eat sand in the desert. It's everywhere. Hard to think of striking oil and becoming rich in the desert. You go, is there anything but sand? And it's the same for Christians in this hour. You better be very careful that you don't desert the place where you're going to strike oil. Because over half the church is. Do you hear me tonight? Over half the church is going to desert the place where they're going to get snatched away to be with the one they love. Over half are going to miss that. Over half are going to start moving away. Over half are going to rebel against the narrow way that the Bible actually speaks about. This word apostasy is only used twice in the Bible. It's used here in 2 Thessalonians. It's also used in Acts 22. And when it's used in Acts 22, it's about forsaking the law of Moses, the Word of God. And it talks about a religious falling away from the teaching of the Old Testament. But in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it's a rebellion against the Word of God. It's the same word. It's a moving away from the Word of God, a rebellion from the Word of God, being deceived and seduced away from the Word of God. Now, the base word of this Greek word, now hold it in your brain. I'm going to tell you something important here. Apostasia. In Strong's, it's number 646, apostasia. But the root meaning of the word, apostasium, number 647 in Strong's, if you have a Strong's concordance, it's the word to separate or divorce. Jesus used it in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19 and elsewhere for a writing of divorcement. The breaking of a covenant relationship. When two people in a marriage are divorced from each other. That's the word apostasy. Since this is going to happen in the church in the last generation, before that great day, there's going to come a divorce in the church. Many are going to divorce truth. Do you hear me? There's going to be a grand divorce ceremony in the church. Many are going to go through a divorce. What are they getting divorced from? Truth. From being married or joined to truth. How do I actually know that? It tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. See, this word apostasia, in the Greek it means either a political or religious rebellion. But here it is a religious rebellion against truth. It's a spiritual thing, a thing of worship, a thing concerning deception. In 2 Thessalonians 2, in verse 10, it gives us two warnings about deceptions. Who get deceived? Who get moved away? There's two great marks of them. The first great mark is, they who received not the love of the truth. Do you hear me? They received not the love of the truth. They didn't accept it. They didn't embrace it. Do you realize love and truth is a thing? You don't conjure it up. You don't create it. You don't try to bring it about in your own heart. You receive it from God. God gives you a love for truth. All you do is receive it. I accept it. Lord, give me a love for truth. How do you know those who have received a love for truth? They get saved. You will be saved. If you receive a love for truth, it will bring you into salvation, real salvation. And you know what? It's a gift from God. I have prayed many times through the years, oh Lord, I want you to give me such a love for truth. I didn't try to muster it up. I said, oh God, give me a love for truth. There's a second mark of these ones in verse 12. It actually says that they believe the truth. Notice the two marks them. They receive a love for truth and they believe the truth. Or there's a negative side to this. It actually talks about those who fall away, who are caught up in the apostasy. They didn't receive a love for truth. They didn't believe the truth. How do you know someone believes the truth? It says here, how do you know someone who doesn't believe the truth? They have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the mark of them. They love unrighteousness. They will not depart from unrighteousness. They don't believe truth. Do you know what the Lord says in 2 Thessalonians? He says these who, they won't receive a love for truth. They don't desire to be changed by that truth. They don't believe the truth. It actually says shockingly in verse 11, for this cause, what cause? They don't receive it. They won't believe it. They won't receive it. What happens? It says God shall send them strong delusion. That means deception. If you don't embrace the truth, God will send you a deception. This is the character of God. Do you hear me? You learn something of the character of God here. If you don't want truth, God will give you a lie. Remember in the Old Testament, actually, spirits came from the presence of God, lying spirits to be in the mouth of the false prophets to deceive the king of Israel. You know why? Because he rejected truth and he rejected one real prophet. And he had all the false prophets there. And you know what? The Lord says, okay, if you don't want to listen to my prophet, oh, he's all alone. Isn't that amazing? He was the only prophet in that hour. He was all alone. All on his tod. Everybody else is prophesying differently from him. And the Lord says, because you don't listen to my lone prophet, and you listen to all of these hundreds of prophets, I'm going to send lying spirits into their mouth, and those lying spirits will deceive you. Oh, I'd never be deceived, would you not? If you don't love truth, you'll be deceived. If you don't believe truth, you will be deceived. No one's going to deceive me. No Catholic priest will deceive me. No Benny Hinn is going to deceive me. Oh, really? This is a deception sent by God. God says, if you turn away from my truth, I will send a delusion. Not the devil. Not just demons. This actually comes from God. He says, I'm going to send this. You don't want truth, I'll give you a delusion. And you will believe a lie. Yes. This is the character of God. Again in Matthew 24, notice the weather forecast. I'm talking a lot about weather forecasts. You know Jackie on Facebook, she's the weather woman. I call her the weather woman. You want to know what the weather is next week? Just look at Jackie's Facebook page. She'll tell you every day how much sun, how many hours, when it's going to end, when the rain is coming. She's the weather woman. I want to tell you, I'm a weatherman here tonight. I'm telling you the climate, the atmosphere of what's going to happen in this great rebellion. Praise God. Thank God for touching my voice tonight. Matthew 24 verse 10. The weather forecast of when these false prophets rise and the deception takes place. And then shall many be offended. Talking about the church. This is the preparation for deception. This creates a climate within the church where over half are going to be deceived by false prophets. What is the atmosphere? Offense. Many, most will be offended. Do you know someone who's easily offended? You don't love God's word. Can I say that? The Bible says those who are offended, or sorry, those who love my law shall never be offended. Yeah. If you're always easily offended, you don't love God and you don't love His word. Yes. Get over it. Amen. Notice what it says. That it says many shall be offended and this is the result. How do you know someone who's offended in the church? And shall betray one another. Betray, sell them. Betray them. Stab them in the back. Speak against them. That's how you know an offended person. He will betray you and shall hate one another. Over half the church, this is going to be in there. Offense. hatred, betrayal. What is betrayal? Lack of faithfulness. I'm shocked at the lack of faithfulness in the church of our generation.
Right.
To have someone who's a faithful friend, you can't find it.
That's right.
Someone who you treat well and you walk with and you fellowship with, and they'll betray you. They don't even know how to be a friend anymore.
Right.
It's abnormal. There's something wrong with this generation. And that's going to create a climate of betrayal. You're being set up for deception.
Yes.
That's what you're being set up for. Do you know, Peter and Jude actually give us the scenario of this rebellion in the last generation, both of them. They actually speak about it. They tell us who the false prophets are. They tell us what they're going to be like. They tell us many things of what's going to happen. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Verse 10, they'll walk in the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Notice this. Notice the mark of these false prophets, deceivers, and over half the church, and despise government. They're going to despise government or authority. They're going to hate to be under authority or to walk in rank and file in the church. They are going to hate it. They're going to despise it. They're going to think very little of it. I don't think much of being under authority or having my home in authority or having the church in authority or having my life in authority. And it's of no consequence. Look at it. Peter describes them. They despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Those who have authority, they don't mind speaking evil of them.
Yeah.
They'll curse them. Verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts. Do you know what the word brute means? Calling them brute beasts. Who are they? They're in the church. And they sit at the Lord's table. And they say, oh, we love the teaching. And they go in and out of worship services. And they say, I believe in Christ and I have the anointing of God. And I have the Holy Spirit and God leads me. They say all of that. They say, I've got a ministry of a prophet and the Holy Spirit leads me. And I've seen angels and I get words and visions from the Lord. And it actually calls them brute beasts. Do you know what the word brute means? It's the Greek word a logos. In the Greek language, the word a means negative. In other words, no. A logos. What's the word logos? In the beginning was the logos, the word of God. These brute beasts, what he's actually saying is they're a logos. They're brute beasts. They don't have the word of God. They don't love the word of God. They don't believe the word of God. They're not submitted to the authority of God. They are brute beasts. You know, there's lots of Christians, they're not submitted to God's word. How do you know? They don't obey it. People don't go to church. They don't believe the word of God. They hear the commands of God preached. They do the opposite. They don't have the word of God in them. They don't love the word of God. How could you disobey the word of God if you love God? You cannot do that. And so the Bible actually says they can have dreams and visions and prophecies and miracles. They have all of this. They can be in the midst of a charismatic revival. But they do not have the word of God in them. They're not under the authority of the word of God. Then listen to what it says in Jude verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion, authority. They speak evil of dignities. But they speak evil of those things they know not. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They just bubble up all their comments and statements.
Mm-hmm.
But what they know naturally as brute beasts. He's just repeating what Peter says.
Yeah.
As brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Do you know what he talks about next? Cain, Balaam, Korah. Talks about all these. 2 Timothy 3, it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times will come. What's it going to look like? Let me show you the church. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about 50% of the church. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Not talking about sinners.
Yes.
Or drunkards or drug addicts. Not talking about them. And you'll see it at the end of this verse. They shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers or covenant breakers, false accusers, incontinent, they can't control themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having, and this, they're not atheists, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. We are commanded in the last days, this kind of Christianity is going to come. And the apostle says, turn away from them. Don't have anything to do with them. Get away from them. They're rebels. They don't even have natural affection anymore. There's something wrong with them. There's something really gone wrong. He goes a bit further. He says in verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Who were Jannes and Jambres? We're told in the Jewish writings that they were actually in Pharaoh's palace. They were wise men, sorcerers, magicians, enchanters. They were in Pharaoh's palace, and when Moses comes in and says, let my people go, and he threw down his rod and it turned into a serpent, these men copied him. They were imitators of the miracles of God. They could perform miracles, but they didn't love truth. But they could do magic tricks. They could copy the man of God, the real anointed of God. They could actually copy him. And in the Jewish writings, their name doesn't appear in the Old Testament, but in the Jewish writings, it actually says that after this, they converted to Judaism. And they joined the people of Israel, and they left with Moses when they left Egypt. But they kept their skill of miracle working, and they didn't have a love for truth. They were involved in the rebellion when Israel worshipped the golden calf. They were involved in Korah's rebellion and in Balaam's rebellion. They got involved in all these rebellions. And the old Jews, they called them the children of Balaam. That's what they were called. Saints, I'm telling you, of people who are amongst the people of God stirring everyone up. They seem to have power. They seem to do miracles. They have dreams. They have visions. They can do what Moses can do. And they're deceivers. And what we're told here, Paul writing in the New Testament, he says, do you know what? In your day and generation, in the last days, this type of Christian, they are going to withstand you like they withstood Moses. And they resist the truth. Since it's got all to do with truth, how do you tell deception? It departs from this book. It attacks the truth. It undermines it. It starts saying, well, the Bible is an authoritative. Well, it doesn't really mean that. Well, we don't need to live like that. That is resisting the truth. We don't need to be that narrow. If you want to walk with God, you will. If you want a broader way, more space, more liberty, more freedom, you can live your Christian life anyway, but say you'll get to heaven and say you'll be caught up by the angels to meet the Lord in the air. But you're going to live with liberty in a broad way. You're deceived. Yeah. No angel is going to come near you. You will be marked as a apostasy from truth. The angels will come down and say, he doesn't love the truth. He doesn't obey the truth. She doesn't even desire the truth. They reject the truth, but they won't caught up to be with the Lord. Won't happen. It cannot happen. In 1 Timothy 4 and 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There's a departure. This is the great rebellion. They don't leave the church. They don't leave ministry. They still talk about Jesus. They still say we're anointed of God. So what do they leave? They leave the narrow way of truth. That's what they leave. That's what they rebel against. And notice why. Look what Paul writes, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Why do they depart from the faith? The body of biblical teaching. To the authority of the scriptures. Why do they leave the narrow way? Because they're listening to deceiving spirits. Do you realize in the last generation, multitudes of deceiving spirits are going to come against the church? Deceiving spirits. Deceiving. Seducing spirits. They're going to cause people to be deceived, to move away, to stray from the narrow way, to leave the narrow path. Spirits are going to do that. Multitudes of evil spirits are going to come against the church. And their one object is seduce you away from the narrow way. It also says the doctrine of devils. What are they? They're teaching devils. They are devils that teach the Bible. They are devils that know the Bible inside out. They are teaching demons. So look at it. There's a great army going to come against the church of seducing lying demons. I actually didn't write it down here, but Janice and Jambres, I don't have the notes here, but you can check it. One of their names means deception, and the other one means rebellion. Deception and rebellion. Those two preachers. But notice an army of evil spirits are going to come against the church. That's why John says in 1 John 4 and 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Why, John? Why should we test the spirits? Why should we test them? This is why. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Do you realize these false teachers? False prophets are going to work miracles. It's demons in them. Yeah. Speaking through them. Prophesying through them. Doing miracles through them. Demons are going to do this. Do you realize some of these false prophets are going to have extraordinary teaching ministries in the Bible? Do you realize they're going to be famous for teaching the Bible, and yet it's demons speaking through them and seducing and convincing many in the church? Saints, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Do you understand why I'm teaching tonight? Because our generation, there's going to be a grand rebellion against the authority of the Word of God. Let me finish. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his coming. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And notice here why. Why is he telling Timothy, preach the word? Rebuke, correct, teach it. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy, you listen to me. In the church, a time is coming, and it's going to mark the last generation, where those in the church will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. They won't tolerate it. They'll get tired of it. They'll get fed up of it. What, this old manna again? Is he going to preach again? Doesn't he have anything to say apart from the Bible? Do you know, I've had pastors, preachers in this city who say, now I'm not talking to you because you'll only go to the Bible. A preacher said that in this city. A pastor. He was scared of me taking him to the Bible. So he says, I'm not going to speak to you because you'll only take me to the Bible. Saints, it's not a million miles away. Yeah. I'm telling you about this generation. I'm telling you about some of the best people in the church of our day. Right. They will not endure sound doctrine. You know the word sound means healthy, hygienic. Right. Good, healthy, I'm giving you good hygienic teaching. Yeah, amen. It'll wash under your armpits. between your toes, inside your ear. These messages will get everywhere. It'll make you hygienic. You'll be squeaky clean. But it says many will not endure. They won't tolerate hygienic teaching. So what are they going to do then? Are they going to leave the church? Oh no. Maybe they don't want any teaching. Oh, they do. They're not tired of teaching, just your type of teaching.
That's right.
Hygienic teaching. So what's going to happen then? It says, but after their own lusts, their flesh, their desires, their passions, their old nature, after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers. Do you know what heap means? You're covered. You're smothered. They're going to have hundreds of teachers. They'll reject hygienic teaching. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go searching. They're going to have hundreds, not just one teacher. They're going to have hundreds. They're going to heap to themselves. They're going to gather to themselves. They're going to be absolutely coming down with audio messages and YouTube sermons and online television of the latest false prophet. They are going to heap to themselves teachers. Oh, we want taught. I'm learning. Why do you never get holy then?
Yeah, amen.
Oh, I'm learning lots. I've got my notepad. I'm listening to Brother Heretic. Why are you never changing then? Why don't you obey the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with you? He says they're heaping to themselves. See, they don't want a certain type of teacher, but they do want teaching. They want lots of teaching. They're going to listen to teaching every day. It's going to come out. They'll go to every convention and they'll go to the big meetings and they'll go to worship events. Give us teaching. Having itching ears, always desiring to be taught, but not hygienic teaching.
Right.
What's the consequence? They turn their ears after those things. Listen what happens next, and I believe it's God does this. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They want teaching. They want to be in church. They want to gain knowledge. But they don't want truth. Don't think teaching is the same as truth.
That's right.
Don't think Bible education is the same as truth. It's not.
Right.
Lots of people want to be taught the Bible, but they don't want truth.
Right.
There's a distinct difference. And it says they'll turn their ears. So they'll turn their ears towards heaps of Bible teachers. But they're turning their ears from truth. And they shall be turned onto fables, fairy stories. If you do that, God's going to say, I'll turn you over to stories that aren't true. Men are going to come telling you about visions and dreams and prophecies and biblical teachings. It's all going to be fairy stories. None of it's going to be true. But because you turn from truth and you gather lots of teachers, you're going to be turned onto fables. I'm talking about being under authority tonight. And I'm telling you, a church under authority and a preacher and a believer who's under the authority of Jesus Christ and under the authority of the Word of God and is happy to be around hygienic preachers and to be in a church where there is hygiene and where I care for you and you care for me and say, brother, be careful about that and stay away from that person and don't be going there and beware of that false prophet. That's hygienic.
Right.
And if you turn yourself from that, saints, we've seen it in here. People that play games, they're out there. Do you know what? They didn't want a truth preacher.
Right.
Oh, we love the teaching. No, you don't. You'd be here. Saints, the ones who say that they love the teaching in this church and they're not here tonight, they don't love the Word of God.
Right.
They don't love hygienic teaching.
Right.
They actually hate the truth of God. They rejected the teaching, not the preacher. They rejected the teaching. Saints, I'm telling you, the greatest rebellion in 2,000 years, and it'll come through miracle-working false prophets who come in the name of Jesus, preaching about Jesus and preaching about his anointing, and they're going to deceive over half of those who once knew the narrow way and the true gospel. But if you love the truth and submit to the truth and come under the authority of the Christ, you won't be deceived.
Amen.
And you know, in the Old Testament it says, even if you're simple, what's a simple person? They don't see things. They don't They don't catch it. They don't grip it. They're simple. They could be lovely people, but they're simple. Simple. Do you know what the Old Testament says, Isaiah? It says, even the simple, if they go on this highway of holiness, they won't go wrong.
Amen.
Even if they're simple, yeah. They just walk in that highway of holiness, they'll never be deceived.
Amen.
Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word and your truth and your blessing tonight. Lord God, I do love you and pray.